Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I think for just about everybody now, school has started up, and I bet lots of teachers have been giving introductions to their classes, laying out the ground rules, and trying to establish a positive learning environment. I've heard over the course of my schooling years, a lot of teachers say something like this: there's no such thing as a stupid question. Now, it's certainly said with the best of intentions. The last thing a teacher wants is to leave a student behind who's confused because they're afraid to ask a question. It's a very nice little proverb. Perhaps there is no such thing as a stupid question, but some questions can become, shall we say, aggravating to teachers or parents when they have to answer the same question over and over again. Or sometimes, maybe it's not a stupid question, but a student may demonstrate that they have not really been paying attention to the point that the teacher was trying to make. For instance, I can remember on multiple occasions feeling really embarrassed when I was at the seminary because the question may not have been a stupid one, but I probably should have known the answer. And like I say, after asking it, I felt pretty foolish. But, you know, maybe there really is no such thing as a stupid question, because come to think of it, when I have asked those questions that I felt embarrassed about after I heard the answer, some of those answers are actually the ones that stuck with me, as opposed to the things I knew I've probably forgotten since then. Sometimes, I personally anyway, learn best when an answer I get shows me I need to pay better attention. Sometimes a stupid question, if we will, is good simply because it allows the teacher to more clearly drive home the point they tried to make earlier. Well, we have something pretty much like that going on in Matthew chapter 18. The disciples ask a question that maybe isn't stupid, but they've shown that they have not been paying attention to Jesus very well. They asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Well, Jesus, in the book of Matthew, has spent a lot of time already talking about the kingdom of heaven. And we should probably clear something up. You and I most likely immediately think simply of heaven when we hear that phrase, the kingdom of heaven. But the disciples understood something that we often gloss over. The kingdom of heaven, when Jesus was talking about, was not just about heaven, but about how the disciples of Jesus are to live with one another on earth. That means that the disciples probably weren't asking about who was going to have the biggest crown in heaven. They were talking about who was the most important disciple. Who should make the decisions for everybody? What's the chain of command? Maybe it would be Peter, because he had the coolest nickname, the Rock. Or maybe it should be John, because after all, Jesus was his closest friend. Perhaps Judas, because he was in charge of the finances. Or maybe it was whoever had the most seniority. However, Jesus doesn't pick any of those people. He doesn't pick the person with the most seniority, certainly. Nor did he pick the most charismatic leader in Peter, or the best listener in John, or the elder James, or the stewardship chair Judas. He picked the person with the least seniority, and calling to him a child, Jesus put him in the midst of them and said, "Pay close attention, guys. Unless you turn and become like children, you will never even enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What Jesus says reminds me of famous to NFL watchers, Jim Mora quote, which also got turned into a Coors Light commercial. The NFL's Indianapolis Colts had played a very poor game, turning the ball over 5 times, and some reporter asked Jim Mora about what the Colts' chances were of making the playoffs, Mora responded, "Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me, playoffs? I just hope we win one game." Well, maybe it wasn't a stupid question, but I bet that reporter felt a little bit foolish after Mora's reaction. And according to that coach, the Colts didn't need to spend any time worrying about making the playoffs. They just needed to worry about winning one single game. Anything more was trying to eat more than they could swallow. Well, I imagine Jesus responding in a similar way to the disciples' question. "The greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You want to talk about being the greatest? Fellas, you better get your heads screwed on straight. Otherwise, you might not even be part of the kingdom of heaven." Jesus tells us in our gospel lesson, that we must turn and become like children. What does that really mean? Well, we might take that as sort of a compliment today. After all, I imagine that many of us are sort of nostalgic about our childhood. Perhaps it's simply because we tend to remember the really good times, or maybe the really bad times. Maybe it's because we're modern Americans and we have grown up with all kinds of privileges that children in poorer countries never experience, including vacations, boatloads of toys, and doting parents and grandparents with disposable incomes. Childhood has become more fun, frankly, and more entertainment-oriented, just like the rest of our society. I think that's a pretty demonstrable fact. Whether it's good or bad is another question, not for today. But the disciples, suffice it to say, were not flattered when Jesus told them to turn and become like children. And he didn't mean them to be flattered either. You see, in what we might call a more primitive culture, like the one Jesus lived in, children were loved, certainly. But they were also viewed from a more practical perspective. Most families had lots of physical labor to do on the farm or otherwise that had to be done, or food simply wouldn't make it to the table. And so from a practical perspective, kids were a greater burden because they couldn't do as much as an adult, and plus they required more care and love. Children were valuable, not because they could do a lot yet, but because one day they would grow up and they would become capable adults. And so maybe it's not good or bad, but kids were not treasured quite so much as they are today. Instead, they were trained. Of course, kids would readily attest to the fact that there still is a lot of training going on today in schools as well. Trained so that one day that they would be able to pull their own weight on the farm. In Jesus' day, a child was defined as someone who could not provide for themselves, someone who was dependent on the care of somebody else. In this way, we are to become like children. We are to be humbled because, spiritually speaking, we can't take care of ourselves. When it comes to your spiritual welfare, you need help. You're not capable of earning your salvation. You need God's gracious care, or you will perish. You can't fix your problems, not the really big ones anyway, not when your body starts to age and your vitality slowly seeps away, not when you or a loved one experiences a tragedy and you don't have any idea what to do. Not when life spins out of control or when you fall into the devil's trap. You can't fix yourself. But your Heavenly Father can. Instead of trying to do it on your own, fall into the arms of your Heavenly Father. He will carry your burdens. In fact, He will carry you, tuck you in, and one day He will wake you to a new day. He'll wake you to face every new day with your sins forgiven and forgotten. And just as importantly, one day He will rouse us all from the sleep of death so that we might wake to life everlasting. I think there's also one other point that's worth noting, since today is Rally Sunday and we're kicking off things like Sunday school and preschool and confirmation. Jesus certainly regards all of God's children, and especially literally children as we think of them, as people who need God's care. And that's what the rest of our gospel reading really focuses on. And we as a church, if Jesus takes such great care of children, it's certainly appropriate that we should do likewise. And even when we think about making decisions or who is the greatest or what's the chain of command, perhaps we shouldn't act like the disciples did, arguing about our wants or desires. Instead, we should focus on taking care of God's sheep, young and old alike. Not necessarily just giving them everything they want, because you can't do that with children, right? Children need to be encouraged. Sometimes they need to be disciplined. And above all, they need to be loved. And we too, God tells us, we are all children, children of God, his little lambs, and we need those things as well. And as we think of ourselves and what we do, we need to make sure that we care for God's little lambs as well. We've got a great start, and let's make sure we do that not just on Rally Sunday, but all year long. In Jesus' name, amen.